Well, again, good morning, and it's great to see everyone this morning. It's great to be here. It's great to be celebrating Mother's Day. I know that, this morning I had to make sure that that Vic stayed put for a little while because there was a big breakfast being planned, and, you know, it's kind of, it's very interesting when you typically, you typically don't eat breakfast, but the kids know how important breakfast is. So Hyatt got up extra early this morning and scrambled up some eggs and made some pancakes and all kinds of stuff and just had a great breakfast in bed this morning, which was nice. And I know that everybody has done something special for the women in their lives, and we got Vic a neck massager thing, so on her days off when she just sits there, the kids are like, yeah, when she on her days off when she just hangs out at the house and just sits around, that'd be good for her to have that on her neck, when she's just sitting around on all that free time, So Mother's Day is just it's a special day for moms, but isn't it a special day for each one of us? Because, we get to reflect on the great things in our life. And typically, the great things that happen to us, mom had something to do with it. Or if it wasn't, like I said before, if it wasn't necessarily our mom, maybe it was that, that lady in our life that really just took special care of us. One of the things that as a preacher, I'm really getting used to the ladies that just take really good care of me. This morning, although it's really more for my kids, but I'm really going to benefit from it. Ward comes to me and says, "Hey, Janice left something on your desk." Now, every time Janice leaves something on my desk, it's something yummy and good to eat. And I go in there, and of course, it's a big cake. And on my birthday, I always get pineapple upside down cakes, or a lot of times just shoes will show up and they just happen to be a size 10 or 10 and a half and the right width and all of those things. And who keeps her preacher in shoes, right? We all know. And every time somebody the other day said I was wearing a pair of shoes, and they said, "Man, I really like those shoes." And I thought, well, tell me. And I had a great Annie story. And so mothers, those stories, they're not just about honoring mothers or the women in our lives that take care of us, that keep us fat and happy or shod, as it were. It's not just about honoring them, but isn't it an honor for us to be loved like that, to be taken such good care of that when we think about them, it makes us feel so good to know that not only are they special, but we're special because they love us and take care of us. And the women that, as we've read about already in Scripture, there's so many good qualities about moms and about the women in our lives that take care of us, that make sure we have what we need, that make sure that we know what we need to know, that make sure that we're prepared for what we need to be prepared for. And this week, as I was thinking about what is it that I feel like we need to talk about, what is it about moms and about godly women that really needs to be in the spotlight this week, that really needs to be challenged for us to imitate? And I thought about all of these traits, but the one that came back over and over again is try a little kindness. Isn't that the one trait that godly women all have, that mothers kind of exude, and that we can all, when we think about all of the great stories that, and all of the great times and all of the events and the good feelings and the preparation that they make, isn't the one thing that's over and over and over again that kindness, that kind-hearted person that our mother was or is, or that special person that takes good care of us? And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible talks about that. He says, "Therefore, as God's dearly loved, chosen people, holy and loved people, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And as I've studied that verse, and it's a passage that challenges each one of us, but as I study that verse, the word kindness is really summed up in all of those things, whether it's compassion or gentleness or patience. You know, it's kind people, that kind-heartedness that really sums up and defines all of the things that God asks us to be. And so one of the things that I want to challenge us with is kindness is a godly trait that we should imitate. You know, if we think about, you know, and as a preacher, I don't want to just, you know, praise the good things that we do. And I don't want to just, you know, shine a spotlight on this, you know, this trait of mothers or godly women. But I want to challenge each one of us to be the kind of person that not only accepts this kind of experience, not only enjoys this trait, but imitates it, but takes what we've learned, takes what we've experienced from the moms in our lives or the godly women in our lives and allow that to change us so that we can be like them. Because isn't that what God wants from us as we look at examples of what it should be? As He gives us these people in our lives that show us what godliness, what kindness is all about, isn't that what He wants us to do, is to imitate that? Isn't that what Paul says? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That we should be imitators of God, that we should mimic God in those ways. And so God gave us these people in our lives not just to enjoy, not just to bask in all of the richness of the gifts and the personality that they have, but to imitate them, to be like them. So this morning, I want to talk about five ways to show kindness to others. Because it's not good enough for moms just to be kind. It's not good enough for the women in our lives, the godly women, just to be kind, but they show it, don't they? If I went around this room and I said, you know, tell me how your mother was kind to you. We would be able to come up with all kinds of ways and examples and stories and we'd be able to say, this is how it shows up in the book, in the first John, in John's letter to the first century Christians. In first John, he says, talking about God's love, he says, this is how God's love showed up. He said, Jesus came to the earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and then God raised Him from the dead. He said, this is how God loves us. See, love shows up. See, kindness isn't just a good Bible word that we talk about, but it shows up. And so I want to look at five different ways that we show kindness to one another, that we can imitate our mothers and the godly women in our lives to be the kind of people that they are and the kind of people that God's calling us to be. The first thing is to be sensitive. You know, a trait of kindness, a way that kindness shows up is being sensitive. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but look to the interests of others. And there's a word there in your Bible that if you want to look this up or later, go to it and kind of highlight, but underline the word look. The word look there, they're saying that we should not only look to our own interests, it's kind of, you know, it's paying attention to and it's doing some work regarding our own interests. See, it's not good enough for us just to know about. It's not good enough just to kind of understand that people have needs and interests, but look for those interests, being sensitive to the interests or the needs or the situations. The fact of the matter is that everyone in this room has hardships. Everyone in this room has needs and issues and problems, and we have to be able to see those. And seeing them is not just noticing them, but recognizing the symptoms of those problems. And isn't that what godly moms are so good at? I know that any time I would have a problem and I would come home from school, my mom would be there and she would just know. She would say, how was your day at school? It was fine. What happened? I said it was fine. I know. Something's wrong. What's wrong? And I would say, nothing's wrong. No, tell me, what's wrong? Nothing, I promise, nothing's wrong. What happened at school? Nothing happened. All right. A couple of, you know, 15, 20 minutes later. What happened at school today? What's bothering you? Nothing, I promise. What's bothering you? Nothing. What's bothering you? Well, you're kind of bothering me right now. Well, what happened? And she just knew, and finally I would tell her, well, so-and-so did this, and da-da-da-da, da-da-da. She could just tell. She had a relationship to where she knew she could pick up on the signals and the symptoms and all of the things, what I was trying to hide, she would just know. And one of the things that I know that in my ministry I have to pray about is, God, help me to be more sensitive to the needs in others. Help me to look not only to my own interests, but the interests and the needs and the problems and the issues that others have. And it's something that, it's a godly trait that we have to cultivate and that we have to nurture and that we have to work on, because so often don't we try to hide all of the things that are going wrong? Don't we try to mask all of the issues? But sensitive people pick up on that, and they don't let us go until we share that, until we can bear one another's burdens. Another thing, another trait of being of kindness, of being a godly person, following in those footsteps, is not only sensitive, but be supportive. In Proverbs 15:4. It says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. Kind words, being supportive, being kind and lifting one another up, that gives life. But cruel words, they crush, don't they? There's a saying that my mom used to tell me, and it is it's actually a lie, to be honest with you. And, my dearly departed, saintly, angelic mother, she told me this lie more than once. And you've heard this exact lie in your life. And you want it to be true. You want it to so badly for this very ridiculous lie. You want it to be the truth, but it isn't. And that lie is this: sticks and stones can break my bones, but words or names can never hurt me. Oh, it's a lie, isn't it? Because those names, those words, those cutting remarks, those biting comments, they hurt bad, don't they? See, broken bones, they heal, don't they, Hayden? They heal. I've got a picture on my phone of a ridiculously gory broken collarbone that now looks okay. It's fine. Six weeks later, no big deal. We were wrestling yesterday. But you can remember every single cut down, every single biting comment. And when you see that person, don't they just come flooding back? Those wounds, those physical wounds, those broken bones, those lacerations, all of those things, they heal in time. But don't those biting words, they hang on for so long, for generations? And sometimes we never heal. We never get over them. But see, one of the most significant traits or ways that kindness shows up is just being supportive. Being kind in the things that we say. Being, having a kind word. Not a cut down all the time. Not a critique or a criticism. But find something kind to say in all situations. Number three is be sympathetic. Not only to be sensitive and look for, pick up on it and recognize the needs, look for the needs of others. Not only to be supportive, but to be sympathetic. And in Romans 12:15, where he's talking about, being godly people, and Paul is saying, talking about love and just being loving towards one another and supportive of one another. He says, look, when people are happy, be happy with them. When people are sad, be sad with them. He says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing and mourn with those who mourn. He says, try to put yourself in their place. Try to understand where these emotions and where these responses and where all of this is coming from. He says, try to live other people's lives right alongside them. And a lot of these traits, they're kind of interwoven and connected and support one another. And being sympathetic is a lot like being sensitive, and they kind of go together. But he says, look, allow the events of other people's life to affect your life. And the neat thing about this, it's not only how we feel. It's not only feeling something with someone, but it's doing something with them. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice And that's not just a concept. That's not just a thought. It's not just a feeling. But it's a body language, isn't it? It's smiling when people are smiling, and it's not smiling when they're sad and when they're down. And he say what Paul is telling the Roman church is, he's saying, look, the circumstances of other people should affect what we do. Be sympathetic to where one another, what we're going through and where we are. Let it be seen in the way that you act. Don't make it a secret. It's in rejoice. You know, have you ever been so excited about something and you're so thrilled and you want to share it with somebody and you go up to them and you want to give them a high five and they just sort of stand there and you're like, okay. You know, if something great happens on the football field or in the baseball diamond and you go up to do that, you know, hey, Dr. Crabtree, you can relate to this. Remember, you know, the chest bump. Remember when we were just dominating at cornhole? Was that the throwing the, man, we were unbeatable that day. We killed you, Dustin. If Dustin tries to tell you that he was even in the game, it was a lie. A lot like the other lie I told you about, but we killed him. And so what we do, we ran and do the chest bump. Well, if he's excited and he runs and I just stand there, I'm like, yeah, how does that make you feel? Kind of awkward? A little bit, that's bad. No, rejoice with those. I mean, share that experience and allow your body language, allow all of that to reflect that so that we're all in this together. And when people are sad, I mean, be sad with them. Don't, that's terrible. But mourn with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Number four, be straightforward. Be straight, be open and honest. Be transparent. Be trustworthy in what you say. In Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. I mean, think about that for a second. The wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. Because, you know, the wounds from a friend, they actually make us better. They actually are helping us. You know, there's a lot of conversations that moms have to have with their kids that neither one of them enjoy. There's a lot of situations and circumstances that moms and share with their children that the mom's not happy about having this conversation and the kids aren't happy about having this conversation. But in the end, children understand she's just trying to make me better. She's just trying to make me better. Just trying not to allow me to continue in this life the way that I'm going. She's trying to help me to have a better experience in life. Trying to help me to shed all of the things that would so easily entangle me and help me to live the life God's called me to live. In Psalm 141 and verse 5, let a righteous man strike me. That's kindness. Let him rebuke me, and it's oil upon my head. He's saying that the rebuke of a righteous man is soothing to me because I can trust that. I can trust that. You ever had your mom tell you something that you just really didn't want to hear? You ever had her tell you something that you thought, well, why would you say that? Why would you say that to me? But then later you realize I needed to hear that because I was about to go and do something that wasn't within the plan that God has for my life, or I was about to go and maybe make a fool of myself. Maybe I was about to go and do, to wear something I didn't need to wear or to say something I didn't need to say. And she saved you from that humiliation, or she saved you. And it was difficult at the time, but she loved you enough to be straightforward and open and honest. And let me tell you something. That's hard. You've heard the saying, this is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it's going to hurt you. I heard that a lot, and I didn't believe it. But now I've experienced it, and it does. Whether it's having a difficult conversation, it does. It hurts us. It hurts to tell your children something that you know they're not going to want to hear. But in the end, it's soothing. If we want to be godly, if we want to have the life that God's called us to have, if we want to live and exude the traits that He wants us, then the kindness is, it's not always easy, it's not always fun, it's not always comfortable, but it's needed. It's soothing in the end. It's needed. Not only do we be sensitive and supportive, sympathetic and straightforward and honest, but the last thing is be spontaneous. We don't always have to have a plan. Some of the greatest adventures, some of the most exciting times that I can remember as a kid is when mom was spontaneous and just, you know, did things on the spur of the moment. And when it comes to being a kind person, spontaneity is almost at the head of the pack. I mean, I know I've got it here last, but being spontaneous and in the moment is sometimes one of the greatest ways to show kindness. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, as we have opportunity to do good to all, especially those of the family of believers. You know, the idea there is as chances arise, as opportunities arise, do good. You know, a problem that we have so often is aren't we real busy? Aren't we typically just, our schedules are just so packed and chock full of all kinds of things and important things and good things and things that we've got to get done. And if we don't get them done, then the world's just going to come apart at the seams. But don't godly moms and those women who take care of us, don't they have this knack of just dropping what they really need to do and taking care of something right there in the moment? Putting their plans aside, you know, maybe they had plans to go and have just some time to themselves. Maybe they had plans to go and get their hair done or their nails done or go shopping or just lay around the house and do nothing on their day off. But then a need comes up. And it's something that they recognized. And it's something that wasn't necessarily for them. And right then and there, in the spur of the moment, they dropped their plans and took care of it. Maybe they drove all the way across town to deliver something. Or maybe they didn't do what they wanted to do to make sure that you had what you needed to have for that day. Whatever it was, they right there in the moment. Yeah, I mean, spontaneity a lot of times is all about, you know, party or whatever, having a good time, and let's go do this or go do that. But in the realm of kindness, isn't it just dropping what we had planned and showing favor to someone else in their moment of need? And ladies, how often are those moments of need planned? How often do you schedule those moments of need? They just happen, don't they? They just show up and you just take care of them. Well, as we try to be like those godly women, as we try to imitate our godly mothers, can we be spontaneous? Can we be in the moment? And as opportunities come up, can we show kindness to everyone, especially those, the families of believers? So the question that I want you to ask, who needs my kindness this week? And I'm not talking about just mine, just Shane's, but each one of us today. Think about this as you go through this week. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about in my class on Sunday morning is the resurrection. And I know, Easter's over. Easter came and went 2 weeks ago, but the resurrection still happened. And it's talked about in every single book of the New Testament. And it's talked about over and over again. Because it matters that much. And it's not something to talk about just one day of the year. So we've kind of been going through a lot about the resurrection. We're going to continue to do that in the weeks to come. And just because today, in, you know, what's it going to be, another 12 or 18 hours, Mother's Day will be over. But this week, how can we imitate those godly women in our lives? How can we show kindness? And not just in different ways, but specifically who? What people do you know that need you to be spontaneous and help them, that need you to be sensitive, that need you to support them and be open and honest and straightforward? Who needs your kindness this week? See, that'll be the challenge, because Mother's Day will end and we'll have 360 some odd more days to go until another one comes around. But how do we show kindness this week? And more importantly, who do we show that kindness to? This morning, we have a choice. We can leave here, and you've heard me say this many times, But we can leave here this morning the same way that we got here, or we can take God up on His offer to make us different people, to change us in such a way that the world is a better place because of it. And this morning we can follow the example of the moms and the godly women in our life, and we can be kind and show kindness in many different ways, and we can do that, or we cannot. We can step up our game and be better people, be more kind. We can follow them as they follow Christ. Some of us this morning, it might be as drastic a change as confessing Christ's name and being baptized, having all of our sins, everything that hinders us from being kind, taken away from us, having that new heart given to us so that we, through the Holy Spirit, the power of God's Holy Spirit, we have the ability to be more kind and to follow those ladies as they follow Christ. Or maybe it's just as simple as reaffirming that commitment to God. Whatever your need is this morning, we can pray about those things. We can pray about specific situations. God, help me to be more sensitive, more supportive, more open and honest, more able and willing to show kindness. Whatever your need is this morning, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.